Radio Prague News. The Czech foreign minister has received anonymous death threats because of his hardline policy on Cuba. Doctors report that the Czech peacekeeper who was wounded in Kosovo on Tuesday is in stable condition. And the police are still hunting for two convicted murderers who escaped from a high-security prison house in Pilsen earlier this week. The Czech Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda is said to have received anonymous death threats because of his hardline policy on Cuba. A police spokesman confirmed the news on Wednesday, saying that the threats had been directed against the Foreign Minister and his immediate family. One of the anonymous phone calls in which the caller threatened to shoot Mr. Svoboda was recorded by the police. Mr. Svoboda and his family are getting round-the-clock protection. The Czech Republic has led a drive for the EU to reimpose sanctions against Cuba, and the Czech Foreign Ministry is vocal in its criticism of human rights violations on the island. Doctors report that the Czech peacekeeper who was wounded in Kosovo on Tuesday is now in stable condition. The peacekeeper was wounded in a crossfire between NATO-led troops and illegal loggers who ignored the patrol's warning shots and demands that they stop their activity. Following the incident, the local police force arrested seven ethnic Albanians, one of whom was also wounded in the shootout. The Czech soldier received first aid on the spot and was airlifted to a local hospital. Police are still hunting for two convicted murderers who escaped from a high-security prison house in Pilsen on Tuesday. The convicts escaped with the aid of a guard by hiding in a service truck. The head of the Plzeňbory prison in western Bohemia has been sacked, and Justice Minister Pavel Němec has ordered a full investigation. Escaped convict Roman Čabrada is a drug dealer who was serving time for the murder of a German mayor 2 years ago. The other inmate, Rostislav Rostočil, had killed an Egyptian student. An email from his sister in Germany suggests he may already have escaped from the Czech Republic. Renata Vesecká has been appointed Supreme State Attorney. She replaces Maria Benešová, who was dismissed in late September following numerous disputes with Justice Minister Pavel Němec. Mrs. Vesecká was asked to run the Supreme State Attorney's office on a temporary basis, and the government said it was convinced she was the right candidate for a permanent position. The Justice Minister proposed her appointment, saying she had handled the job with skill and responsibility. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Thursday is expected to be overcast and rainy, with day temperatures between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Peter Smith. Coming up, the row escalates over the escape of two inmates from a Pilsen prison. And it seems that nothing is too important to stop trading at Tesco, not even eliminating nesting sparrows. Also, Peruvian cuisine comes to Prague. And in Panorama, Brian Kennedy looks at the work of Czech filmmakers living abroad. The fallout continues from the escape earlier this week of two convicted murderers from Pilsen's Bory prison. The prison's director has already resigned, but two cabinet ministers are now involved in a row over who bears responsibility for the escape. Rob Cameron has more.
The two convicted murderers, 58-year-old Rostislav Rostočil and 29-year-old Roman Čabrada, made their daring escape on Tuesday morning. They managed to hide themselves in a pallet which was being driven out of Bory prison in a goods van. Police say the two men had at least two accomplices, one of whom hid the real pallet in a lift. Detectives are now trying to determine their identity, with speculation that at least one of them was an employee of the prison. The escape has already cost the prison director his job, and some have called for the head of the prison service to resign too. The case has also led to a row within the cabinet. Transport Minister Milan Szymanowski has said Justice Minister Pavel Niemetz bears responsibility for the escape, something which Mr. Niemetz denies. However, Mr. Niemetz's spokesman Peter Dimun has promised tighter security measures at the country's prisons.
As far as controls at Bory prison are concerned, the prison service has introduced measures to change the security procedures which allowed this to happen. The measures will take the form of special unannounced security checks, as well as more frequent checks. That seems to be the only way at the moment of preventing such escapes. A second option, which is currently being discussed, is to buy special X-ray machines, which would be used to screen all large packages leaving the prison.
The two escaped convicts were both involved in high-profile murder cases. Rostislav Rostochil was sentenced in 1985 to 24 years in prison for the murder of an Egyptian student. Roman Chabrada was sentenced this year to 24 years for the murder of a German mayor and drug dealing. Rostochil, who maintains his innocence, has escaped before but was later recaptured. His sister has contacted the Czech media, saying Rostochil is already abroad. She said he escaped in protest at the Czech judicial system. This latest incident has highlighted continuing problems in the country's prisons, following a number of embarrassing escapes in recent years. Critics say it's high time the Czech prison system was completely overhauled to prevent such high-profile escapes happening in future.
You're tuned to Radio Prague.
Odchod prezidia pozemkového fondu. Takový je návrh vlády kvůli spekulaci.
Czech television reporting that the cabinet on Wednesday accepted the agriculture minister Petr Zgába's proposal that parliament dismiss the entire board of the powerful Czech land fund, the body responsible for the sale and management of state-owned land. The proposed sacking of the Land Fund Board, of which Mr. Zgába is chairman, comes in reaction to outcry over the sale to alleged land speculators this summer of property that is now worth hundreds of times the asking price. Brian Kennedy has been following developments and joins me now in the studio. So, Brian, tell us a bit more about this land deal and just why it's so controversial.
Well, Peter, in short, this summer a number of people bought huge tracts of land on the cheap, and there is a scent of corruption in the air. One deal involved land on the outskirts of Prague, where shortly after the Czech Land Fund agreed on the sale, a change in the local zoning law went through, and that allowed for the construction of a residential housing project. Suddenly, the land was worth literally 400 times the sale price. Also, the board made a decision to accept all outstanding restitution claims up to a certain date. Now, this fact was not made public, but it appears that private buyers were well aware of the decision and acted on that knowledge.
So the implication, therefore, is that at best the Czech Land Fund used very poor judgment and at worst may have actually passed on inside information, as it were.
Yes, and several board members and employees have already been given their walking papers, although not charged with any crime. But in fact, it was an old friend of Agriculture Minister Petr Zgába who obtained the largest parcel of land in that outlying Prague district, and the Czech Land Fund sold it for the equivalent of some $160,000. If sold today at the going market rate, it would easily fetch $50 million. Now, although Mr. Zgába abstained from the vote in question, which allowed his friend Gabriel Vecera to buy the land, the main opposition Civic Democratic Party is loudly calling for his resignation from the Czech Land Fund and as agriculture minister. Party deputies have said they will not accept the naming of a new board unless Petr Zgába steps down. But they too have to tread a bit softly because one of their own, Martin Kocurek, who was meant to be a regional election leader for the Civic Democrats, has also been tainted by the affair.
Well, whatever the outcome, I understand that there's an audit underway at the Czech Land Fund.
That's right. For starters, some of the 170 or so deals agreed by the board this summer have come or are beginning to come under intense scrutiny. But there are many more deals, such as the sale of land near the Ruzhinye Prague International Airport to the investment fund Penta, that are set to get the same treatment. And the mayor of Prague, himself a civic democrat, has asked the courts to prevent some sales from going through, so we can expect some high-profile legal battles in the near future.
Brian Canty, thank you very much. This week, people in Prague have a unique opportunity to try traditional dishes and delicacies from faraway Peru, the motherland, would you believe, of the potato. A week-long Peruvian gastronomy festival in one of Prague's hotels offers a taste of a cuisine blending ancestral Inca flavours with European and Asian influences. As Pavla Horakova now reports, there are more links between Czechs and Peruvians than the prominent status of the potato in their cuisines.
In 1693, a Czech-born Jesuit, Samuel Fritz, arrived at Lake Lauricocha in the western Peruvian Andes and proclaimed the Marañón River flowing from it as the headwater of the Amazon. Just over three centuries later, a Czech expedition determined that the longest feeding source of the Amazon was actually the Caruasanta River. That is just one of many connections between the Czech Republic and Peru. At the launch of the Peruvian Food Festival, I spoke to the Deputy Chief of Mission at Peru's embassy in Prague, Luis Enrique Suarez Palacios, and he told me that another Czech-Peruvian connection was related to gastronomy.
When you are thirsty, you ask a pilsen, prosim, instead of asking for a beer. And that is commonly accepted because the best beer in the world, for Peruvians at least, that is the pilsenske pivo.
Over history, Czechs have left more marks in Peru than the reputation of Pilsner beer.
When I was a little boy, probably my first pair of shoes were purchased in a batia shop. We call it in Peru bata because of the Spanish phonemas, and we call it bata Rimac, which Rimac is the river that crosses Lima. So we thought it's a Peruvian enterprise, but at the end we find out that it's a Czech multinational. So.
To this day, the descendants of Czech immigrants live scattered around Peru, mingled with the other ethnic groups that make up the diverse population. And interestingly, some Czech surnames have come to be associated with certain regions of Peru. Luis Enrique Suarez Palacios.
I know for sure that there's a small but very active community of Czechs living in Peru. But from my own experience, I can tell you that when I was during my first years of school, I spent in a city called Jauja. And in Jauja, I share my games with people which surname sounds more or less as follows. Mucha, which is the Spanish way to say Muja, or Landa, or Cotera, or Balbín, which Balbín is a very Jaujino name. But at the end, you realize when you are here that those are real Czech names.
As Mr. Suarez Palacios from the Peruvian embassy says, the Czech Republic and Peru have much more than beer and food to offer to each other. Above all, they can trade experiences from their recent economic and political transitions.
Entertainers at the Peruvian Food Festival here in Prague, ending that report from Pavla Horakova. Now imagine, if you can, the following scene. You're shopping at your local supermarket, wondering perhaps what brand of cornflakes you might want for breakfast, when you see a man with a gun wandering around, occasionally taking aim and firing, while the management takes no notice at all. Believe it or not, shoppers in a Tesco store in a West Bohemian town really witnessed this scary scene. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
Many people who were shopping in the Pilsen Tesco store on Wednesday are still recovering from shock. It was unbelievable, one customer said later. I looked up from my cart and there was this man with an air gun wandering around and shooting at something. The place was full of shoppers and there were children around, but the management wasn't paying any attention, as if it were perfectly normal for someone to go around the supermarket shooting. Zdeněk Egermeyer was not the only one who called the police. Plenty of people did, before rushing their children out of the store. When the police arrived, they found that the lone shooter was actually an ornithologist, whom the management had called up and asked to get rid of the dozens of sparrows that had got into the store and were flitting around close to the ceiling. The ornithologist allegedly spread a huge net and managed to capture most of them the day before, but a dozen or so got away, and so he decided to finish off the job with an air gun. Unbelievably, the store's manager simply let him get on with the job, later telling the police that since the man was an expert, an ornithologist from the Animal Rescue Centre in Poznań, then presumably he must know what he's doing. The ornithologist himself insists that the people doing their shopping around him were in no danger at all, but gun experts are shocked, pointing out that a stray pellet from an air gun can cause injuries, especially if it were to hit a child. The local hygiene office is also shocked, saying that it had ordered the store to get rid of the birds, but had never dreamed it would try to do so while it was open. In short, shopping at the supermarket has become quite a strain. Some are mice-infested, others are bird-infested, and others yet were found to be selling rotten meat. And although Czechs love shopping in supermarkets, the people in charge should seriously consider just how much their customers are prepared to put up with.
Would you believe it? Well, just how does living outside a person's own country affect them creatively? Well, that's one of the topics to mull over in this week's Panorama, where Brian Kennedy looks at the work of Czech filmmakers in exile.
Miloš Forman of Amadeus fame is without question the most famous of directors to have emerged from the Czech New Wave movement of the early 1960s. Along with Jiří Menzel, Ivan Pasar and others, he produced internationally acclaimed work throughout the decade known as the Golden Age of Czech film and enjoyed great success in the West. Lesser known is the documentary film work of such feature filmmakers. While documentaries by Czechs made in exile, those who fled Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia in the 1930s, after the communist takeover in 1948, or the Prague Spring 2 decades later, have, until now, never been screened as a body of work.
Zde jsou muži, kteří se byli a budou být až do konečného vítězství. Prezident Beneš udílí vyznamenání.
There is a PhD thesis in there somewhere, the experience of exile as a source of documentary inspiration. This year, the International Festival of Documentary Films in Jihlava, central Bohemia, included a special 3-day program of screenings dedicated to the work of Czech documentary filmmakers in exile. The event was the brainchild of film historian Jiří Vorač, author of a new book on the genre.
In this program, we tried to introduce the concept of exile documentary. It was arranged so that various historical periods of exodus, that is, after the Munich Agreement of 1938, the communist takeover of February 1948, and the Prague Spring of August 1968, were represented. The program also took into account different formats, genres and topics reflecting the film in exile. So on one side we can see here documentary magazines which existed in Canada and on the other side poetic documentary by Vojtěch Jasný.
Poetický dokument Vojtěcha Jasného Stroj ptáci a lidé.
Tak, abychom začali po pořádku.
Vojtěch Jasný's best-known popular film is All My Good Countrymen, which tells the story of a close group of friends living in a Moravian village in the 1950s.
To jsou ogaři vdovy po řezníku Machačovi.
Made in 1968, it was openly critical of collectivization policies and banned by the communists after the Warsaw Pact led invasion that year. Jasný left the country in 1970 and became a committed anti-communist. But as a young film school student, he made several works singing the praises of that system. One of them was Baječná leta, The Extraordinary Years, a documentary he made in 1952 with another director, Karol Kachna, who later became a Czech film legend.
The central committee of the party was very interested in this film, and then they told us what must be there. There must be Stalin, there must be Gottwald, and this and this. And without that, no film. So I said to my colleague Kachina, we filmed these people, and what is good will remain. Pity that we didn't shoot that in sound, because it was manipulated by this commentary.
Director Vojtěch Jasný, now in his 80s, spoke to Radio Prague about his transformation. politically and artistically, which came after trips to the Soviet Union and Communist China.
I decided when I came from Soviet Union and China that I will never more make dogmatic or stupid film, and I promised to myself with everything, and I found this courage.
President Beneš udílí vyznamenání československým vojákům, kteří prokázali ve Francii.
Among the rarely shown documentaries by Czech exiles presented this year in Jihlava were, for example, The Fighter Pilot, a 1943 short by Jiří Weiss about his countrymen serving in the RAF.
Já sám jsem byl docela překvapen tónem a dikcí dokumentu zpravodajů z druhé světové války, které vznikaly v Británii.
Festival organizer Jiří Vorač says that such documentaries should prove of great interest to film historians.
To byly vlastně filmy, které velmi zdůrazňovaly.
I was myself quite surprised by the tone and diction of the reports in the World War II era Czech authored documentaries made in Great Britain. In particular, because these films were emphasizing the continuity of the Czechoslovak government in exile of President Edvard Beneš. In that sense, these were political documentaries which were meant to draw attention to the plight of the occupied homeland. The second thing which surprised me with these war films was the fact that they were actually very amusing. It's amazing how the commentators were capable of making funny remarks throughout the films, although they were concerning very serious matters.
Třeba, že mluvili o velmi vážných věcech.
Instead now we have armed to such an extent as the world has never before.
The year 1939 was perhaps the most significant in the life of Austrian-born, Czech-raised artist Alexander Hackenschmied. Having collaborated with American director Herbert Klein on Crisis, a film about the rise of fascism in Europe, he fled under the fear of imprisonment and possible execution. Under the professional name Alexander Hamid, he settled permanently in the United States and produced a number of wartime documentaries for the U.S. Armed Forces. The Jihlava Festival screened one of his most famous films, Israel, An Adventure, shot in English in 1957. The film is a striking collage with scenes of Jews and Muslims at worship and leisure. The film starkly contrasts ancient rites against the backdrop of modern influences and urban blight.
Five times daily, it is written, the believer shall turn to the east and pray.
Předpokládám, že jste mne nenavrhli do tohoto úřadu proto, abych vám já lhal.
Festival was nothing if not eclectic, for it incorporated the work of dozens of great and lesser-known filmmakers spanning decades and generations in exile. The most contemporary entry was the work of screenwriter Jan Novák, whose 90-minute documentary, Citizen Václav Havel Goes on Holiday, made its world premiere here.
Že jsem si kdysi dávno ještě v Americe přečet zprávu Václava Havla, dopis generálního prokurátorovi, kde prostě popisuje svůj pokus o dovolenou v létě.
Citizen Václav Havel Goes on Holiday retraces former President Havel's summer holiday to Slovakia in 1985, during which the celebrated dissident was followed by the communist-era secret police, the STB, and repeatedly interrogated. Shot in 2004, Novák managed to interview dozens of people whom Havel had encountered on the journey.
Právě pana Nováka fascinuje ta Spartakiáda.
The Czech documentary filmmaker Helena Třestíková found it a fascinating reflection of the society as seen from the outside looking in, perhaps the single element uniting the rich diaspora of Czech films made in exile.
Já mám pocit, že to je film viděný americkýma očima.
I have a feeling that this film is seen through American eyes, especially the reality of the 1980s, which for us is not so distant. I can see how Mr. Novák is fascinated by mass staged events like the Spartakiada and the unbelievable machinery of the SDB, the secret police, which is here very well documented. I think it is a very interesting film which might remind us here of what we went through. It can be a bizarre experience, not only for a foreign audience, but also for our own young people who may now see that period of history in a different light from a perspective they maybe never have encountered before.
Pan Panorama was presented by Brian Kennedy, and we're just about out of time on Radio Prague for today. But please do, if you've not done before, check out our website. The address is www.radio.cz/English. There's also links to other language sections there as well. But lots of news and reports and information about life here in the Czech Republic, and indeed the schedules of our programmes here at Radio Prague. And also, if you'd like to see what the presenters look like, just go onto the website. It's not too scary, I promise you. Also, you can just email us. The address is english@radio.cz. english@radio.cz. We're always very happy to receive your letters, and you never know, you might get featured on Mailbox with Pavel Horáková. That's that from me, Peter Smith. Until next time, bye-bye.